This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld. Welcome to Issues 2025, sir.
Great to be here, Steve.
Hey, fall classes up and going, and what grade do you give this year's start for USD 259? Got to give a grade, right?
Well, as far as kids and logistics and smiling teachers and all of that, I'd say we're a solid A. Some of the HVA systems in some of our buildings probably wouldn't get an A. They might get a C or a D in some of our buildings. It's been a little warm, but hopefully things cool off here and we get those repairs fixed. But really a great, smooth start to the school year as far as getting kids in classes and getting teachers connected with kids early.
That's the main problem, right? The main thing.
Eh? Yes.
How long have you been superintendent now?
Starting my third year, so started in 2023.
And basic background questions for you. How many schools in the district?
So we have 90 attendance centers, a couple non-attendance centers, so about 95 total buildings, but 90 schools from a pre-K facility all the way up to an adult facility for people with special needs and everything in between.
Do you have any enrollment figures yet?
No, we actually don't. We're very much in flux at this point in the year. We haven't even... we're just now one full week into the year. We will know more as enrollment kind of settles. We monitor those numbers pretty early on. But
do you see much difference, do you think, between last year and this year? Would there be any reason for it to be up or down?
The only early trend that we've seen is some of our schools that traditionally have high numbers of what we call newcomer students, which are students that are brand new to the country, usually refugees, but sometimes immigrants. Those schools have seen a decline just early on, and we don't know if that's going to hold or not. But I think with the tenor of the federal landscape, it makes some sense that we might see a decrease at some of those schools. But otherwise, no reason to believe enrollment will be down much more than, a tad.
The ICE roundup or whatever you want to call it, then it's going to have an impact.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, that's a piece of it. And I think it's just an overall tone of, what will happen if I come to the country and to my family and that sort of thing. So
Yeah. We
haven't seen a lot of ICE activity, in our world of schools, which is great because we're trying to keep kids safe and trying to focus on learning. And hopefully any of that activity stays away from our facilities. But in the community, I know there still continues to be worry from a lot of our families that might struggle with those situations. So
uncertainty, yeah.
Yep.
So what are the demographics of your students?
Yeah, so about 46,000 students total. 70% of those students are a minority of some sort. So we're about 40% Hispanic students, about 30% Caucasian, about 20% African American, and then about 10% Asian, Eskimo, Native American, all of those sorts of groups. So that's the racial breakdown. As far as poverty, last year we were about 80% of our students were growing up in poverty. So 4 out of 5 kids in our district are experiencing poverty. And so that's a unique challenge that makes our work worth it for sure, because these kids really need good adults to step up.
People are going to tell you that doesn't matter. Where they come from doesn't matter. They should all be making the best test scores in the world. I'm sorry, but I don't understand that. People don't understand the kind of challenges you have. How many languages are spoken in the homes?
Yes, so 110 languages, 110 different languages are what our students speak, and about 20% of our students are non-English speakers, native speakers. So, and we know the research tells us that it's, any of us, if we were to go to another country, it takes about 6 years to become fluent, like actually fluent in the language. Kids can pick it up quicker, but we can't expect those kids who are new to the country to score well on an English test. It just takes time. They have the potential. They can absolutely do it. It just takes a little longer for some.
You're telling
me
that 4 out of 5 kids in the Wichita Public Schools are in poverty.
That's right. Yeah.
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Don't get me started.
Those barriers in and of themselves, right, are, when you think of just transportation and just basic needs and some of those sorts of things that, and like I said, it makes our mission that much more important. If nobody else is stepping up for these kids in our community, what's going to happen to them? We'll graduate 3,000 kids every year. We had a class of 25, was just over 3,000 kids. Every Wichitan wants those kids to be productive citizens, right? And that's our job to get them there. And it benefits all of us if our kids do well.
That's a big challenge.
It is a big challenge.
Huge challenge.
It is a big challenge.
How many teachers do we employ in USD 259?
Yeah, so right around a little bit under 4,000 teachers, about 8,000 total employees when we're fully staffed during the school year. And that includes bus drivers, which are a third-party contract. But we consider them our employees. But about 3,800 teachers in an annual year.
Do you need more classroom teachers now? Or?
We do. We did pretty well this year. We still have some vacancies, and there's always churn is one of the words we use for it. But late resignations, people move, for all sorts of reasons. Special education continues to be our biggest area of need. Those are just hard jobs, challenging jobs, and not as many people go into it. But overall, I feel like we're doing pretty well on staffing.
Special ed, and you always need somebody there.
Yes,
Does it take a special education or schooling for the teacher?
Yeah, there's a specific license for
that.
Okay, yeah. The teachers have to teach special education. And we're doing a good job of creating some pipelines. We're working with WSU Tech and WSU to have some, future teacher academy that we started, that getting some teachers in that. But there's more people at the closer to the retirement age than there are in the college ranks that are getting into the field.
Well, so why don't you just not do special ed?
Well, that's a great question. Legally, we're required to, right? Right? We have to follow the Constitution. And the truth of the matter is, Steve, we have to educate those kids regardless, right?
Right.
Regardless of funding, regardless of whatever else. So if the money doesn't come in for that, we still do the right thing by the kid and hire the staff and do what we need to teach them. So,
What are your figures on administrative personnel? Critics will say, well, they've got too many administrators. They're top heavy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that in my 2 years, that's been a focus. Of the total budget, it's 1.1%, what we say are non-school administrative costs. And that, whether that number is too high or too low, I don't know. But that in the, 99% of our budget goes elsewhere. It goes to schools and other activities. Since I've taken over as, superintendent, though, we've seen our enrollment decline since about 2016, about 10%. So
since 2016,
we've gone down about 10%.
So wow.
We're up above 50,000 and now we're around 46,000. And so we tried
a lot of factors in that.
Probably
a lot of COVID factors. For the biggest.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. COVID was that biggest draw, but we're seeing, just fewer kids demographically in the district and there's more school choice and all of that sort of thing. But all that to say, one of the things I've challenged our administrators with is, if we've lost 10% of our kids, we probably need about 10% fewer administrators, you know, and I say administrators, and that doesn't mean people at the top, just non-attendance center administrative type functions. So we've reduced 55 positions in non-attendance centers, not schools, not in schools, but in other areas across the district over 2 years. And I think that's been the right thing to do, but it's also, I think, built up some credibility, you know, with the community and with the teachers to say, you know, we do understand, we're not trying to hire a bunch of people that don't help kids directly. The most important people in the system are the ones that help kids directly, and that's where we need to put the majority of our efforts. So,
have you approved your budget yet? Or?
Not quite yet.
When is that?
We have our hearing on September 8th, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, so you've got a couple of weeks left.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does it look like? What you've got so far? I know it's a proposal.
Yeah.
Like, how much money do you think you're going to spend?
Yeah, so our operating budget on an annual year is a little bit over $600 million. And so it'll be up a little bit from last year. The board came to consensus and is going to leave the mill rate flat for the year, so there won't be a tax increase as far as the mill rate goes. But because valuations have gone up, that's going to increase our budget a little bit from, I think it's $215 million to $219 million. So a little bit of an increase, but that's the operating budget, and then there's some other budgets that go into that are for other things, but that's our main budget that we work
on. Of course, yeah, and you're just one of the three-legged stool there, because county's budget is right at that,
right?
And the city's a little more than that, I think.
When
you get your property tax statement, there's where the taxing entities are.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Okay.
And you know, interestingly, property tax has been a big conversation, you know, through the bond issue and all of that with all three of these entities. If the board agrees that, and I think they've got consensus is what they're going to do, they're going to keep the mill rate flat for next year. You know, we'll be at our lowest mill rate level in 15 years. The other taxing entities can't say that, right? The school board has deliberately and intentionally lowered that mill rate over the past 15 years to give whatever relief that is possible. We still have work to do, right? It takes money to teach kids. And it takes money to hire great staff. So we want to be able to try to do both things as best we can to give taxpayer relief when it's optimal, but at the same time to meet our goals. And it takes resources to do that.
You're state mandated on a lot of things, aren't you? The state says you will do this.
Yes.
But do they fork over the money for it when they say that?
Well, it depends on the thing, right? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. To their credit, you know, the state over the past few years has given has fully funded education, which has been good. Special education continues to lag, but they've done some things with school safety and some targeted programs and some grant initiatives that I think have been really impactful. But yeah, we have our share of unfunded mandates, as a lot of government agencies do. Here's something you need to do, but we're not going to give you any resources to do
it. You've talked to folks over at the county, and most of their stuff is state mandated.
Yeah, yeah.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld. What revenue sources do you have beyond the local property tax?
Yeah, that's a great question. So some of that mill rate money, depending on the fund, when you get your tax statement, the school district's actually listed four times on there. The county and the city are just once, but we have a supplemental general, a local option budget, a bonded interest, and then what's called a special liability. And so depending on which one of those funds it is, some of those stay local. For example, the LOB and the bond, obviously. Some of those go to the state, and then the state reimburses that. So, most of our funding comes from the state. Some comes from local property taxes. And then almost, not quite a third, but close to a third, comes from federal dollars too. Those flow through the state for the most part, but the federal government funds a lot of title programs, a lot of special education funding comes from the federal government. A year ago, we started a Wichita Public Schools Foundation. The district never had one singular foundation we have kind of one-offs and different projects that people had done, but we didn't have one thing. A different way to answer the question too is that how we explore other funding opportunities, right? Whether that be grants or gifts or foundation, dollars, those sorts of things. it's in its infancy, right? We're just a year in. So we're you know, just getting things going, getting the board established, those sorts of things. But that's an attempt to really, you know, show the community we're looking at all different aspects, all different opportunities.
Talk about a foundation. A means to raise a little extra money from the private sector.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in that regard, you're going to, you're not really getting up and going very well yet, but you will be going to large corporations, small business, individuals, just everybody.
All those in between, yes. Yeah, yeah. We'll do everything from, you know, individual teacher donors who might want to give, you know, $20 out of their paycheck, all the way up to, you know, individuals that, you know, believe in public education and want to see our kids succeed. And then lots of, you know, we have a lot of community support and a lot of our local businesses, big and small, support what we do and they believe in our kids. So
some schools are already doing that. I mean, I'm a graduate of West.
Yes.
And our alumni association has past 8 or 9 years has gotten some muscle on it.
Yes.
We've actually been able to raise some money and do some good things over there for the young people.
Yes.
And
yeah.
It makes you feel good.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's worth it. I mean, our kids need that, and we know funding can be a challenge. And really the foundation, the goal of the foundation is to fill that gap between what public money can do and then what kids might need. And I think at West, that's a lot of what you guys have done too. East High has an endowment. North High has a great alumni group. So there's a lot of really good things going, but we didn't have, you know, a singular umbrella brand that we could go to business and industry as a 501c3 and say, here's how a way you could help all the kids.
If I'm not mistaken, I think some of our money went to finance a new weight room for the athletics.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So yep. That helps.
Yes, it does. It absolutely does.
You know, in March, the voters narrowly rejected a $450 million bond issue for the schools. So you going to try again?
Well, that's the recommendation to the board will be that we try again.
You didn't lose by much.
That's true. Yeah, it was very, very close.
Was it several hundred votes?
Yeah,
something?
About a little bit over 300 votes out of 27,000, so about half a percentage point.
Wow.
Yeah, and we believe, you know, we have some work to do to engage the community better and really get our parents understanding what the needs are. But for right now, the plan is to pass this budget to get through this school year and then assess. You know, the other thing we have on the horizon is a school board member election in November. 4 seats are up. And so I think it's wise to, you know, wait until we're through that election, see how that ends, and then, you know, figure out what the will of the board is in early 2026, depending on who that might be. There are four contested elections, so and we could have 4 new board members. We could have 4 incumbents.
You change the whole complexion of the board and how you want to go.
Exactly. Okay. Yep.
Well, your critics say, why should we vote for a bond issue when the test scores are not improving?
Yeah.
You've heard all this.
I have. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm glad you asked it, Steve. You know, I would say, you know, if you need a screwdriver, why would you go pick up a hammer, right? The problem with the need for the bond issue isn't about solving test scores. It's about fixing our facilities and you know, the fact that our air conditioning bond issue, you know, that's kind of how I use it. The 2000 bond issue, we said as a community, we're going to air condition all the schools. This is the right thing to do. Well, that's 25, now 26 years ago. Air conditioning units don't last that long. So we have all these units coming to end of life, right? We've tried to keep up on them. With 90 buildings, there's a high level of need. And we feel like we can do right by the taxpayers, keep things mill neutral or flat, and at the same time do some really great things for our kids. Now, if we want to talk about test scores and how we improve those, voting no on a bond issue isn't going to help us improve our test scores, right? So those are other problems that we need to solve. And I believe we're headed in the right direction to solve those. Our data is up, and really ever since COVID, we saw a 2% increase last year. Is 2% enough? Maybe not, but we're headed in the right direction. We're doing a lot of good things. We've invested in early literacy, and we're really seeing trajectory change there. So,
well, you know, and you've mentioned the buildings, and I've been in the buildings, at least a few of them. Almost everyone here in the last couple of years, and the athletic facilities, the buildings all look to be in good shape. But like you say, I didn't look at the air conditioning. I couldn't see that.
Right, right.
From where I was. So there are improvements that need to be made then, huh?
Yes, yeah, and that's just part of, I mean, you think about your house, right? And over 20 years, you know, you replace your furnace and you replace your windows and you have to replace your doors sometimes. And those things add up. Those are expensive. And then you think of a house with kids in it. And kids are hard on things, right? I mean, they just are, right? They're hard on bathrooms, hard on cafeterias.
Yeah.
So they wear out. You know, our stuff wears out. We have 10 million square feet of space in our district. That's a lot of of room to take care of and upkeep. And the bond issues that were passed in 2000, 2008 have done been hugely successful as far as getting us adequate, good, new facilities. But that only touched, you know, as far as brand new buildings, it was only a handful. About 17 of our buildings, I think, are brand new since 2000. That means the vast majority of our buildings were built in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. That was a couple years ago. You know, we joke. I heard some community member talk about Northwest High School and the new construction, you know, when Northwest was built. Well, that was 50 years ago, Steve. You know, that's not a new building. And buildings, as with all things, right, they take maintenance, they take time, they take repair. So.
I can remember in high school when they were talking about building Northwest High School.
I bet you
that
could.
That goes way back.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I just wanted to point out that my generation made it through without air conditioning in schools.
Well, standards
the kids,
are different.
The kids right? are just not as tough. Yeah. I know. Yeah. Just to talk about how schools are doing with regard to extracurricular activities, keeping students engaged in sports, music, clubs, art. One of your predecessors told me that that's the main reason a lot of kids go to school.
Yes, absolutely.
And if they didn't have that, they wouldn't be there.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
Very true. Yeah. And we, you know, we try to hire great coaches to help all of our kids succeed and engage in these programs. And I do think one of the biggest indicators, especially in high school, of success is how involved a student gets. You know, over the past 5 years, we've added esports. This year, we're adding girls flag football. I don't know if you saw that, but Kansas City Chiefs have put a lot of money into Kansas and Missouri to get girls flag football started at the high school level, and just other opportunities for kids to get involved. I think another avenue for that is our CTE programs, our career tech ed, things like our automotive programs, our health nursing programs. That's another way a kid can get involved and get excited and get connected to something. You know, we have Business Professionals of America, BPA, or FCCLA. You know, we have these groups that have to do with more career-focused. And then our fine arts, I feel like, are second to none. I mean, I think our facilities are great, but, man, we have some of the best instructors when it comes to orchestra and band, drama, fine arts. We win. I don't think it's hyperbole to say we dominate the congressional art awards every year. I mean, Wichita Public Schools, we are consistently at the top of those things, and we probably don't do a great enough job about celebrating all the great things that we do when it comes to that. So
what are the biggest challenges facing USD 259 this year? This school year?
Yeah, this school year, you know, I think, you know, there's never a shortage of challenges, but we continue to lean into literacy, right? We know that kids reading on grade level by third grade is really a critical component. So at this point, I think we've invested so much in the infrastructure. It's more of an opportunity than a challenge. It's a challenge to keep teachers trained. It's a challenge to keep to get kids there attendance-wise. You can't teach an empty seat. So if kids' attendance isn't good, they struggle to learn. I think another challenge on the horizon, like I said, is just the facilities, you know, the weight of the facilities costs that continue to increase and our ability to keep up with that. And then, you know, there's always worry about funding. There's a task force in Topeka meeting now about the school finance formula. Our board and I think our administration believes that the current funding formula is really sound and really, except for special education, really adequate. So I'm hoping they leave well enough alone and can not get too much into revamping that, because that could be a considerable challenge.
What do you think are the biggest achievements? We only have time to mention one or two if you'd like to.
Yeah, sure. No, I think our graduation rate obviously is a big achievement. It continues to increase, and it not only increases, but it increases in a way that we know kids are getting credentials and college credits, and the ACT scores are increasing. So we know there's rigor and validity to that. One interesting stat of our class of 25, 19% of the class of 25 told us that they were the first in their family to graduate high school.
Wow.
So 19%. So you think of how a diploma, like for your kids and my kids, a diploma doesn't feel trajectory changing for their life. It's just something you're going to do.
Yeah.
For a lot of those kids, to be the first in their family that got a diploma, that means a lot, not only to them and their family, but sets them on a whole nother trajectory as far as their life goes. So we're excited about that. We're excited about a lot of the stuff we're doing in reading and seeing those scores continue to increase. And that's where our focus is.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Thanks for being with us. Then we're out of time. Hey, come back and see us again sometime.
Will do. I appreciate it, Steve.
Our guest is Wichita Public School Superintendent Kelly Bellafield. And yeah, we just have the taxpayers need to realize those. They're not your kids, but they're somebody's kids, and we need to have them all educated as best we can. And that means supporting our schools. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2025. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.